After sermon, we will sing Psalter 278. Let us turn again to our sermon text today as it is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We ask questions hundreds of times in a given day. Children ask questions, and oftentimes they ask questions to the extent that parents are tired of answering the questions from their children. It is because we learn by asking questions. People sometimes tell this, saying, "It is a very good question." When the question is very relevant and is very interesting, then those compliments can be given. How about young people among us? As you grow up, you begin to think about things that you didn't thought before, and you ask questions about new things, and you begin to explore things by asking new questions. But as you do that, don't you realize that those questions sometimes put you in a difficult position where you don't have answers? You could raise the questions, but you're not really sure, and you quickly fall into a measure of doubt. Sufferings in life make us question about who God is, and oftentimes, we do not have the answer for those sufferings. God's word tonight gives a question. But this question doesn't promote doubt. Rather, this question dispels the doubt, as it is found in Romans 8:32. The theme this evening, then, is a most assuring question for all children of God. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider 3 points under this theme. First, assuring because of its original cause. Second, assuring because of its rich content. And third, assuring because of its comforting conclusion. Romans 8 is one of the most precious chapters of the entire Bible. The apostle started this precious epistle by laying out very methodical way the doctrine of justification. Our salvation is not based upon human works, but it is based upon faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He expounded this glorious doctrine in the first five chapters of this epistle, and he moves on with the gospel in sanctification in chapters 6, 7, and 8. Our text, Romans 8, verse 32, is found at the end of this chapter, Romans 8. And if you know these two doctrines, doctrine of justification and doctrine of sanctification, these are inseparable doctrines. The Puritan William Perkins called, referring to Romans chapter 8, verses 28, 29, and 30, as the golden chain of salvation. Because God works out salvation from the beginning to the end according to his sovereign will, regardless of who the sinners are. It is God's sovereign work. Even before the creation of the world, God chose his elect to save them. And in this glorious chapter, toward the end, we find seven questions. And our text is one of those questions, the third question. And these questions are all rhetorical questions. That means they do not need to be answered because the answers can be known from the context. It's so obvious that those questions do not need to be answered. And tonight, I would like to show you those reasons why this question must be answered affirmatively. Yes, God will freely give us all things with Christ for our bodily and spiritual needs. And those reasons will be laid out before you tonight. First reason is found in the first clause of our question. He that spare not his own son. He that spare not his own son. The first cause of everything is God himself. And so is the first reason why he will freely give us all things with Christ. God the Father, he is the initiator of salvation. None of us is saved by our own strength. The first cause of salvation is from God. None of us could save us. God had to begin the work from the beginning, even while we are sinners. And this God is the Father who spared not his own Son. You'd ask, what kind of this father is? Even the animals love their own offsprings. And the Bible says here tonight, he that spare not his own son. Let's think about Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham received this precious son, Isaac, at the age of 100. This is a remarkable gift from God. And of course, he loved his son so much. But he, soon after, was told by God to offer this precious son in the Mount Moriah. And the angel said, you spare not your only son. He was about to kill this precious son, Isaac, to offer unto God as sacrifice. And children, you know what happened later. God provided a ram to replace this Isaac. So don't misunderstand our text tonight. God loves his son perfectly. If you think that God didn't love his son, so he spared not his son, it cannot be less true. God is love. If anybody there who knows how to love, it is God himself. God loved his son perfectly. John Murray writes, There was an infinitude of reciprocal love, love not constrained by ignorance nor quenched by knowledge, but love drawn out by exclusive and exhaustive knowledge. God is love. And he loved his son so much. Then Paul's point is this, when he said he spared not his own son, it means this: if the love of God for his son was so infinite, but he didn't spare him, then the salvation of God's people is so dear, so near, so great, so infinite, so grounded in God himself that even the smallest, the weakest believer should not doubt. And you would ask, why me? We just state that the cause begins with the God the Father who loved the sinners. And why me? I'm a sinner. And I should spare for God. I should not spare for God anything. And I should love him because he's worthy of my love. But God spared not his own son. He loved me. loved sinners. Why is that? I'm a sinner. I am worthy of condemnation, and I'm worthy of death. But why me? Why did God initiate this chain of salvation with sinners like me? Dear child of God, your salvation is not based upon who you are, but it is based upon His sovereign will, in which He spared not His own Son. In other words, look beyond yourself. Don't try to find the cause of salvation within yourself. The cause of salvation is outside of you. God the Father, who spared not His own Son. If you try to find the cause of salvation in you, there is only wrath and curse and sin. You are encouraged tonight, also as you begin this new year, to look outside of yourself, to look at this mighty God who spared not His own Son for sinners. So here is the first cause to assure believers, but this isn't all. By itself, it doesn't explain everything, and that is why we turn to our next point, which is assuring because of its rich content. Assuring because of its rich content. God is the subject of our text. He is the cause of the rest. But the text moves on to what He did with His Son. But He delivered His Son off for us all. So far, we expounded the first cause, which is about what He didn't do. Now, we move on to see what God did with His Son. What is it that God did with His Son? It says, He delivered Him up for us all. God delivered Jesus Christ up for us all. Before we expound our second clause, I want you not to misunderstand our text. We should be clear from the beginning that the words "us all" do not refer to general man and woman. That is, "us all" doesn't refer to everybody. Everybody gathered here tonight, also everybody outside this church. The reason why I'm saying that, first of all, it would not make sense that Christ died in vain for all the unbelieving people. Yes, His blood is sufficient to cleanse all the sins of all the sinners of the entire universe, but His blood is only efficient for those that believe in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, Jesus Christ would have died in vain, given there are so many unbelievers. And secondly, the words "us all" do not refer to every single person of this universe, because our context shows that this promise is for a specific group of people, like sons and children. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 28 confirms this. "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." It is crystal clear that we are talking about specifically the children of God, not men and women in general. So, God delivered him up for us all. In this clause, the word "deliver up" is a very striking word. Matthew 5, verse 25 uses the same word to describe the action by the accuser for those accused. The accuser delivers up this accused up to the judge. It's a very judicial language. There is certain charge, and then you want to convict this person, and you want to deliver this person up in the court. Also, Pontius Pilate was said to deliver Jesus up to the Roman soldiers. Strikingly, in our text, it is said, God delivered him up. This means that although all these other secondary causes of the death of Jesus were true, the first and foremost cause of Christ being punished under the wrath of God was God himself, the Father of His only begotten Son. One theologian says, "Who delivered up Jesus to die? Not Judas for money, not Pilate for fear, not the Jews for envy, but the Father for love." This is exactly Paul's point. The Father delivered His Son up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. There is no other way for the Heavenly Father to save sinners but this. He had to deliver up His Son as a substitution of the sinners. Tonight, we could sing unto the Lord, with glad heart because this substitutionary atonement by Jesus Christ upon the cross. Your sins and my sins will cause us to be damned for eternal punishment. But because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, we could be released from that charge and we could be accepted before God. What an amazing and rich truth this must be. We are speechless sinners before this rich cross in the Calvary. Jesus Christ died for sinners, and God delivered him up for us all. No human mind could think of this solution of sinners before God. We are law breakers rather than law keepers every day, every moment, even in this worship hour. But then God found a remarkable way of reconciliation by providing the mediator between God and the sinners. What a rich content this must be. It is beyond our imagination. And this is our only hope. His deliverance is our escape. He was bruised because of our iniquities. He was punished because of our transgressions. Because of his bruise, we are healed. As Isaiah prophesied in 53rd chapter in his prophecy. This is the only way for sinners like you and me to be saved. Dear children of God, you may have believed the gospel at some point in your life, but still we need this assuring power that lies in Christ's one sacrifice. When there is doubt in our soul, it is usually because we do not rest enough in this one sacrifice offered by Jesus Christ. We need to learn again and again. Not the labor of my hands could fulfill what thy law demands. This is true for all of us. All of us are sinners. We are doomed and judged already. Unless our sins are atoned for by Christ, we must atone for ourselves. No word is enough to express this greatest love of God. No gift can match this greatest gift. No one could ever exhaust the depth of what it means to be freely forgiven one's sins based on Christ's death. For there is not only the original cause and a rich content, but also a comforting conclusion to which we turn now. Listen again to the entire question of our text. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son. Don't you feel the assuring character of this question? In other words, there is nothing that God will withhold from his people because he has already given his best, his son. There are three comforting truths which we can further identify in our text. First of all, with him. This is beautiful praise. With him. Everything that we receive from God, the good things, are bound up with Christ Jesus. With him. Everything we receive comes with him, attached to him, connected to him, dear believers. Our food and our comfort, our family, our school, our church, every blessing is with Christ. Also with him. There is a picture frame where the words are written in it. And every mealtime, we as a family were reminded of Jesus Christ, where it says, at every mealtime, Jesus Christ is the unseen guest. And we remember him because we receive all this good food from him. And also for you, you are given another new year a few weeks ago. And what a blessing that we could live this another year. And this life is the direct result of Christ's bloody work upon the cross. All good things for time and eternity are coming with him. And I want you to remember him in this year as you receive good things from God. Also, secondly, God gives us everything freely. Paul underlines the gift character of these blessings. Free. That means you don't work for this. And you cannot purchase this by your own work. No matter how you hard work, you hard. Day and night. No way for you to purchase this salvation and this promise. free Roman Catholics would promote faith and human work, faith and tradition. That's wrong. Only all these blessings are secured because of Christ's sacrifice and nothing else. If you try to add anything more to that, that finished work, that is an offense to Christ. All things come to us freely because of Jesus Christ and His finished work. And lastly, God gives us totality. All things. Also with Him freely give us all things. Paul says He doesn't give partly. He doesn't give just spiritual blessings. He gives all blessings, physical, spiritual, emotional, now and forever. He gives not everything we like or want. He gives all things we need for life and godliness. Sometimes it's true that He gives us things that we don't want to. We don't want to have in our life. But even those things come to us from Christ. Afflictions, trials, diseases. With them, Christ gives all help and perseverance. Can you say that, dear believers, as you look back, all that I needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Dear congregation, our Father in heaven is very rich. This question is most reassuring about that, isn't it? Freely gives us all things. It contains everything. Dear child of God, do you still doubt, thinking that you are nobody in this world? You may think that there are many great children of God. They are eminent in terms of their external walks, their life. They are successful, who are worthy of God's gifts. But you may think you are not worthy of God's free gifts for all your needs. But don't think in that way. Rather, think in this way. Will not God take notice of you when He already gave His only begotten Son for you? Why should He not then, with Him, freely give you all things? Dear unbelievers among us today, one writer warns you by saying this: the gospel does not say there is a Savior if you wish to be saved. But sir, you have no right to go to hell. You cannot go there without trampling upon the Son of God. Tonight, we saw the entire gospel message summed up in this one question. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He with Him not freely give us all things? What is your answer to this question? This may be a so obvious question to the believers that they need not to be answered. But I want you unbelievers to think through the question, and I want you to be able to answer positively by the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a question, but this is a question with greatest promise ever for all those who are struggling with their needs, both physically and spiritually. You may never have such a father, such an earthly father who would give you all things freely. First, because they do not have the capacity, the ability to give you all things. They are just human fathers. And secondly, because our earthly fathers are still sinners, they cannot give you all things without any reluctance. And thirdly, our earthly fathers are given to us to show that there is the Heavenly Father. They are not perfect, but they are there to show us that there is Heavenly Father who can give you the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and with Him, all things. Therefore, you must know and have your Heavenly Father. But you cannot meet with this Heavenly Father without Christ. You cannot become one of His children without Christ. You cannot love God, and God cannot love you without Christ. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between sinners and God. Please come to Christ so that you may also become one of God's children and answer this most assuring question for all the children of God, saying, yes, yes, and yes, surely He will give me all things with Christ because He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Amen.